This is chapter 52, Rukmini's message to Lord Krishna, of the 10th canto, Krishna the Ranchor. Mushakunda circumambulated Lord Krishna, bowed down to him, and went out of the cave. Since he was from Satyuga, or previous Yuga, he was extremely tall, very powerful. And he saw that the Dwarkavasi, the dwarf residents of Dwapara Yuga, were reduced to the size of dwarfs, and all the trees and animals, and he realized it was now Kali. So he left to the north to Gandhamadana Mountain, and he entered Bhadrika Ashram and worshipped Naranarayan Rishi for the rest of his life. He worshipped the Supreme Lord with intense austerities. Next life, he took birth in a Brahmin family as a pure Vaishnava. Krishna returned to Mathura, which was still surrounded by the Yavanas. He destroyed the army, took all their wealth, and dispatched the bullock carts to Dwarka. Then Jarasandha appeared with his lakhs of soldiers, and he laughed heartily when he saw Krishna and Balaram run into the field. Then Krishna and Balaram climbed a high mountain and jumped off, although it was set on fire by Jarasandha. And Krishna Balaram jumped off from the top. It was 88 miles high. And they landed at a distance way beyond all of his forces of Jarasandha. And Jarasandha assumed that Krishna Balaram were burned up. So they returned to Bihar, Magadha province. There was a king named Bhishmaka, the ruler of Anarta, the ruler of Vidarbha. He had five sons and a lovely daughter named Rukmini. She was meant to be married by Krishna because she's a direct expansion of Lakshmi Devi. Narada used to visit Bhishmaka's palace and describe the beauty and activities of Krishna to the king and his assembly. At that time, Kanya, the virgin girl Rukmini, would hear these narrations. And then she fixed her mind on Krishna and made a sankalpa. I will marry Krishna, no one else. All of Bhishmaka's family agreed that Rukmini could marry Krishna, except her brother Rukmi, who was envious of the Lord. He forbade the marriage and arranged her to be married to Shishupal, an enemy of Krishna. Rukmini became morose, and she thought deeply over the matter. And being a Kshatriya's daughter, she came up with a very clever plan of action. She called a trusted Brahmin and gave a letter to him to carry to Dwarka to explain her situation to Krishna. Krishna worshipped that Brahmin, and after he relaxed and ate and rested, then Krishna respectfully massaged the Brahmin's legs with his own hands. Although the Brahmin knew Krishna was Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he accepted the worship to conform with Vedic social conventions that a king should duly honor and worship a visiting Brahmin. After inquiring from his well-being, the Brahmin said, "Yes, I have a letter from Rukmini for you." In that letter, Rukmini said, opening the seal of the letter, which Rukmini had given him, after writing it in her own hand in the privacy of her room, the Brahmin showed it to Krishna as a token of her love. On Krishna's request, the Brahmana read the letter out loud. If Krishna says, "But how can I accept you, a king's daughter, Rukmini, whom I have never seen or heard about, and who is shamelessly writing a letter to me, as her bridegroom, with the intention of having me marry her?" If Krishna were to say this, then Rukmini answers, "Yes, this is true, you can say that, but I will express the feelings of my heart. After you have heard this, you may accept me or neglect me, favor me or reject me. Nevertheless, depending on whether I obtain you or not, I will either live happily forevermore, or else die this very day or the next day. For one in my condition, There is no question of fear or shame. Therefore, I now speak. O Achyuta, hearing about your beauty and qualities, my mind has lost all shame. I have become completely attached to you. Your beauty and qualities are the two causes of my mind's becoming shameless. And my two ears are also its cause. Therefore, both you and I are at fault. Therefore, you cannot criticize me, and I cannot criticize you. Imagining that Krishna may respond by saying, other men can have attractive forms and qualities, so why do you find fault with them? Rukmini said, please do not speak like this. You have unique qualities. Having entered the ears of attentive young women, your wonderful qualities completely destroy all their pains, both subtle and gross. Tell me, what other man exists who has qualities like you? Krishna, your form is more sweet and attractive than the best object for people who are observant. There is an assortment of colors. Blue like sapphires or blue lotuses, yellow like gold ornaments, and red kunkum like rubies and banduli flowers, and white like moonstone and the moon. What other man possesses such exquisite beauty and limbs, tongue, lips, nails, and other bodily parts? O beauty of the worlds, you are the most attractive and handsome person in all the material and spiritual worlds. Krishna may say, granted, I may be the most incomparable man in the universe, but are you the only girl in the whole universe with eyes and ears? I do not see any other maidens with such shamelessness. Rukmini responds in verse 38. O Mukunda, whose face beams with a smile like jasmine flowers, you have given me an opportunity to smile too. What intelligent, sober girl endowed with beauty and good qualities, coming from a respectable family, would not choose you as her husband? Vishnu says. Rukmini's letter statement implies, only an ugly, ill-natured, and unintelligent woman of bad lineage who has not heard about you would not choose you as her husband. Rukmini goes on. Those with good qualities except you are incomparable in attributes, beauty, knowledge, youth, wealth, and power. There are many young marriageable women like me who will accept you when their time comes. But now it is my time. O lion among men, Nrisingha, you are as uncontrollable as a lion, but I have no desire to control you. Your incomparable beauty and qualities play in the minds of all humans. So what fault is there if you also reside in my mind? 39. Since I am so attracted to you, I therefore have chosen you as my husband. It is not just now, but from the beginning I have selected only you. Both my body and soul have been offered to your lotus feet. I have sent this letter to inform you of my mental state. If you accept me, I will maintain my life. And if you reject me, I will burn myself up. I will not give myself to anyone else, even if Brahma himself comes here and commands me. But, Krishna may object, this offering of yourself to me is not unmotivated, like King Bali's offering. Indeed, you have an ulterior motive. Rukmini, true, my offering of myself to you is not like the surrender of Bali Maharaj, which was nirbhav, without intense love. O Almighty One, please accept me as your wife. just as when a person gives food to someone else and says, "You should eat this." Such a natural self-offering is understood to be superior to a non-motivated offering because it is affected by real love. You should quickly send back the Brahmana with a reply so that I know whether you accept me or not. Shishupal should not take the share meant for you. If Shishupal suddenly comes and touches this body, my hope of attaining you will be destroyed, and this body will be burned to ashes in the fire of separation from you. My fear, however, is that you will lose your prestige if Shishupal comes and takes your share like a jackal stealing from a lion. His impudence towards you will be broadcast everywhere. Rukmini says, "Ambu Jaksha, O lotus-eyed one," implies that at that time, even though my body is on fire, burning in separation, because I have not attained you, I will not experience any pain because I will be meditating on your soothing and cooling lotus eyes. Text 40. O most difficult to attain person, you cannot be obtained simply by the good acts of one's birth. Therefore, if I have performed pious acts in my previous lives, whether with a desire to attain you or without a desire to attain you, let the results come now in the form of attaining you. This is my only prayer. If I have worshipped the Lord profusely by doing various pious acts like digging wells, sacrifices, giving charity, following niyamas, regulations, and tirtha snan and ekadasi brat, and deva puja and guru puja and brahman puja, which are all corollaries to the worship of the Lord himself, then may the Supreme Lord, as a human, the elder brother of Gada, come here and accept me, a human, in marriage. No one else should come, not even Narayan, nor any of the demigods or human beings. Krishna may say, "Yes, I accept you according to your past pious actions. But what can I do now that you have been given to Shishupal? The arrangement for your marriage has already been made by your family." Rukmini proposes a solution by addressing Krishna as "O Ajit," which means no one can defeat you. "At the upcoming wedding, you should first enter the city unseen, without any army. Then enter the city. You should surround yourself with your military commanders to show your strength. If you don't do this, it will be difficult to enter the city quickly, for my father's army will accost you outside the city. After entering the city with your small coterie, you can say that you have come just to see the splendor of my marriage ceremony, and then the army will have no reason or suspicion to fight with you. Then you can whisk me away at your leisure. If they suspect an undesirable turn of events and start fighting with you, however, you should show your heroism, just as you received Lakshmi from the churning of the ocean. Then you should forcefully kidnap me, the reward for your show of strength." Krishna asks, "Certainly I will destroy the military force of Shishupal and the others. Yet in kidnapping you, who live in the palace's inner sanctum, wouldn't I have to also kill your relatives?" Rukmini cleverly answers, "There is a temple of Durga outside the city. You can easily kidnap me from there without killing my relatives." Krishna said, "Princess, you may say that, but how can you get my mercy without having performed pious acts in the past to attain me. Rukmini replies, in order to attain you in a future life, in this life I will practice celibacy and austerities. If after one lifetime's penance I do not attain you, then I will continue doing penances for even 10 million lifetimes. I can never give up my desire to attain you. And if you tell me that there are many contaminations in me that prevent me from attaining you, then let me dispel these with the dust particles of your lotus feet, which are obtained by performance of great austerities. Great devotees like Shiva desire to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet in order to destroy the root of their ignorance. I will also destroy all my contaminations by bathing in the dust of your lotus feet, which I will attain by austerities. If I do not attain your mercy, then I will give up my life by fasting. Krishna, what will you accomplish by that? Rukmini, I will give up my life time after time for hundreds of births until I attain your mercy. Concluding the message of Rukmini, the Brahmin said, O my Lord, I swear that I have not revealed this message to anyone, since that would embarrass Rukmini. It is not necessary to consult with the Yadus, because you are the Lord of the Yadus, Yadudev, and the source of their intellect. After considering the matter, you should immediately do the needful.